You're with SBS Radio.
So the Prime Minister announced in what really was a historic address at the Sydney Institute that the position of the Australian government is now to recognise that Israel's seat of government, that its capital, is not in Tel Aviv but in West Jerusalem. From our community's point of view, this was really a crucial announcement. It really was a direct rebuke to those who would seek to deny the Jewishness of Jerusalem, who would seek to demonize and delegitimize the state of Israel and isolate it from its allies in the world. And it was a call for a resumption of negotiations. It sent a clear message to the Palestinians that their only path to statehood is by recognizing Israel and by negotiating in good faith with it. But also what was significant about the announcement was a lot of the preamble, a lot of the introductory remarks made by the Prime Minister. Specifically, he denounced the anti-Israel agenda of the United Nations as a form of anti-Semitism, and he vowed to stand in support of Israel in international forums. So this was really a wide-reaching, comprehensive, and a critical announcement from the perspective of both the Jewish community and relations between Israel and Australia.
And we are talking to Alex Rifkin, the co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Alex, what was the reaction? First of all, the reaction in Israel.
The official reaction of Israel, we saw the former ambassador of Israel to Australia, Yuval Rotem, who's now Director General of the Foreign Ministry there. He widely, warmly praised and welcomed the announcement, the fact that Australia now recognises that Israel's capital is in Jerusalem and not in Tel Aviv. That's highly significant. But as you can imagine, in a country like Israel with a very dynamic press and a Knesset that's very representative and democratic, you had a number of voices and opinions put forward. Some welcomed it and some were critical of Prime Minister Morrison's distinction between East and West Jerusalem, which to those in Israel would seem like a false distinction. Those of us that know Jerusalem well know that there isn't really that clear demarcation of East and West and that it's a unified and united city. So the reaction was mixed, but overwhelmingly people who saw the substance of the announcement, the tone of the announcement, the symbolism of the announcement, realised that this was really a momentous occasion in relations between Israel and Australia, and it further shows that the Palestinians, in their political war and their attempts to isolate Israel, to demonise it, to turn it into an international pariah, are really failing in that strategy. Now, that's what was really significant from my point of view.
And I understand that the Australian embassy is not going to move soon from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, but they're opening some offices?
So the announcement was that there will be a trade and defence office opened in Jerusalem and the embassy will only be formally moved once there is a two-state solution and an end to the conflict.
I would like actually to comment on the Labour, the federal opposition. The federal opposition says that it will reverse the government's recognition of West Jerusalem as Israel's capital if it wins power. What's the position there?
So as you've articulated, it was announced shortly after, on the day of the Morrison announcement, it was announced by Penny Wong, the shadow foreign minister, that she would reverse that decision, which is really a disappointing thing. I think it's one thing to review it, but it's quite another to pledge to reverse it without that level of consultation. But I think it shows that Prime Minister Morrison's views on Israel and those of the Liberal Party, which are very warm, they're not necessarily replicated in the Labor Party or sections of the Labor Party. We saw at the National Conference a resolution adopted which called for recognition of a Palestinian state, which shows, again, a further, I suppose, slide away from traditional support for Israel. But I think it's also very crucial to note that the Labor Party is far from uniform or homogenous in its views on Israel. And there are a lot of people within the party at very senior levels that are deeply committed to Israel, that are deeply supportive of deeper ties between Israel and Australia, that oppose unilateral recognition, and that do recognise that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. So obviously, there are challenges for the Jewish community with the Labor Party, and that is indicative of a broader trend internationally of a decline in support for Israel and social democratic parties, and that's a real challenge for us as a Jewish community.
And we are talking to Alex Rivchin, the co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry. And you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Alex, you've been talking and writing about the rise of anti-Semitism. I wanted to ask you about it because many people say that the anti-Semitism now has a new form of delegitimizing Israel. What is your opinion about it?
Well, when we look at anti-Semitism throughout history, it's always attached itself. It's always targeted the dominant themes or symbols of Jewish self-identification. So that could be the Jews as a religious group, and we've seen our faith attacked throughout our history, or it could be the Jews as a people in a community, even as a race, and we've been attacked on that level as well. And today, when we live in a time when there is a Jewish state, where our people exercise self-determination once more, it's logical for the Jewish state to become a target, a vehicle through which that old ancient hatred of the Jews is expressed. And we see that in a number of ways. Firstly, we see classic anti-Semitic slurs and accusations, whether it be the Jews kill children, that Jews are manipulative and all-powerful and controlling, that we have a negative impact on society and the world. These sorts of classic tropes leveled at the Jews over time are now leveled at Israel. But also it comes more explicitly in the form of anti-Zionism, the denial of the Jewish people to a state, to a homeland, a denial that we're even a people or a people with national rights. So it would really be foolish for people to think that criticism of Israel is always about substantive matters of policy or political parties. So much of it is really a veiled way of expressing contempt and hatred for the Jewish people.
Should we be concerned here in Australia about anti-Semitism?
Well, look, the report that my organisation published this year or just last month revealed a sharp increase in anti-Semitic incidents in Australia over the past 12 months. Particularly, we're seeing a rise in far-right actors, but we're seeing, and we've seen this in Europe as well, in the United States, the sources of anti-Semitism are invariably varied. They come from radical Islam, they come from the left and from the right. As to the question of whether we should be concerned, of course we should be concerned. The Jews in any period of economic or political upheaval were inevitably targeted, were the first target. And when we're entering times of populism and times of real sharpened discourse and polarized debate, inevitably things will get worse for the Jewish people. But at the same time, I don't want to be alarmist. I think most people of our faith will say that living in Australia as Jews, no doors are closed to us. We live freely and peacefully. We assemble, we pray, we go to our schools and community centres freely and happily and peacefully. It is a wonderful place to be a Jew, but we always have to be vigilant, always.
Alex Rivchin, the co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry. Thank you very much. SBS.com.au